Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of carnal catchphrases that confuse Christians, we were talking about the pastor or the Sunday school teacher that beats his congregation or class up by telling them what they need to do to help the church. Let's continue there today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
2 Timothy 3:12 lets us know that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so that lets us know that being dogmatic in righteousness will fade in these, the last days, but we need to stand regardless of that. We need to follow the example of the disciples in Acts chapter 4. They had been warned by the council not to preach any more in this name. They were told that the consequences would be bad if they did. So when they got back with their group, they did not pray, "Oh Lord, deliver us from the whippings and the jail and everything else that they might do to us." They didn't pray to be delivered from those things. They didn't pray to be delivered from the threats. They prayed that they would have boldness. That's what they prayed for. They prayed for boldness to go back and preach there because they knew they were going to be beaten for the cause of Christ. My friend, we know that if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we take a stand for righteousness in these last days, you're going to be persecuted many times by Christians, and they may even part company with you. But my friend, pray that you'll still have the boldness to stand. Now, the next statement that is used today, is often used of fundamental churches, is this: you beat us up instead of edifying. Now, that also sounded good to me until I inquired of what it means. And I asked several people. And what I've been able to deduce that they mean from beating us up is this: if a preacher takes the Bible and says, "You need to witness, you need to be more faithful, you need to spend more time in prayer, you need to be at visitation," or anything he used in preaching or teaching to say, "Do this or do not do this," they think he is beating us up. You can have a Sunday school teacher's meeting, and you can say to the teachers, "Teachers, now look, your class isn't going to grow if you don't get out and try to visit. You need to call your absentees, but you also need to find out from the kids in your class if they have prospects, and you can get their names and addresses and go do some visiting in their neighborhoods. Find out where other kids live and go visit them." "Well, preacher, you're just beating us up." Well, that is the thought that they have about that kind of thing. I believe that that term, beating us up, is probably found, if it's found anywhere, in Hezekiah chapter 10, verse 8. And of course, there is no Hezekiah in the Bible. But it seems that this principle would be seen in the Word of God if this were a wrong thing to do, to tell people what they need to be doing or not doing. Well, I believe this is a person who is under conviction about a certain sin, or they're not doing a certain duty that they should be doing. And so they're rebelling against it. Maybe their love of pleasure is being rebuked. You speak of dress or the places they go, and they'll get upset. "You're beating us up." Isn't it interesting that that is called beating them up? These people will use terms as too judgmental or legalist. By the way, if you've not been called a legalist, you're probably not a fundamentalist, okay? They'll call you mean-spirited or too unloving. Now, let me just add about too unloving. If that preacher preaches that way, look, he would stop preaching if he wasn't loving. Why would he want to put up with all the hassle if he wasn't motivated by love? And you see, but people use terms like this because it covers their bankrupt Christianity. It reminds us of Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31 and 32. And there it says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. All these are people that go around, they're always using the word love. But then they're the ones that leave. They're the ones that aren't doing anything. They're loving with word and tongue, but not in deed and truth. And the Bible says their love is not love. It's a pseudo-love is what it is. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Now, the precepts of men, things like all my low self-esteem, dealing with difficult people, learning tolerance in this intolerant society. And they go to a meeting, and they hand them out an outline, or they do it on with a PowerPoint presentation. And as I'm saying, I'm not against a PowerPoint presentation. I'm not against handing people paper with an outline on it, and they fill in the blanks. I'm not against those things, but that doesn't mean that they are being expository or deep. It just means they found something that has caught your interest, okay? After you get used to that, they're going to have to come up with something else. Before too long, they're going to be dancing in the church, and everything's going to be a drama because they've got to continue to keep you entertained. Those are the precepts of men. And the Bible still tells us it's by preaching. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10 says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Don't give us the word of God. Quit beating us up is what they're saying, okay? We don't want to hear that. Basically, this person is rebelling against biblical duty. Whether a preacher or a teacher, Sunday school teacher, what have you, from God's word instructs concerning our duty or to refrain from something that is in our life, they're not beating you up. They're giving you something that is going to make your entire eternity better if you will heed it. For example, with a pastor, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 17. It's there for a reason. There it says, remember them which have the rule over you. Who are they? Who have spoken unto you the word of God. In other words, your pastor, whose faith follow, that is the doctrine, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Listen, if you won't heed, you're going to be rebellious. It's the preacher may have to give an account of that with grief in his heart, but it's not going to be unprofitable for the preacher. It's going to be unprofitable for you. Sunday school teacher, it may be about your class. Bus worker, it may be about your route visitation. Christian school teacher, it may be about visiting your class. Choir member, it might be about your faithfulness. Don't rebel. Be thankful, verse 7 tells us, and abound therein. Why? Because your labor is never, never, never in vain if it's in the Lord. That is, if it's God's way. God's will, God's way. Now the next statement is, they just don't want us to think. They want us to hang our brain on the coat rack before we enter. Well, this is a person who is dead set on having their own way, and they are submissive to no one. This is a person who may not be consistent in his stance. For example, he may stand against alcohol, but someone about to come under discipline for selling it, he'll say, well, you know, we do have liberty today, and we need to take it easy. We just got to love them. And as the other carnal catchphrases, this is something they do to themselves, as the enticing words have deceived them. And they avoid verse 3 of Colossians 2, where he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. No, they have their own little words today that make them feel better. This person will not go along with the unity in Christ. they have their own agenda. It is what they want to see done. And my friend, that is humanistic. It is situation ethics in religious activities. It rejects the absolutes of authority and submission and the commands of God's word, especially the commands against rebellion and disobedience. Do you realize that 1 Samuel tells us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity? Now, what's the thing about witchcraft? They cast a spell on someone for their own pleasure. In other words, to get a step up on someone. They don't like the someone, and so it's against someone, and it's for their own pleasure. You see, in actuality, this is what they are doing when they're rebelling. They're practicing witchcraft. And the unity they're wanting is the unity that's in the world, not the unity that is in Christ, not the unity that is in God's word that adheres strictly and only to the word of God. The basic problem with this type of person is seen in the home and on the job, in daily activity, and in the church. And that is, they have problems with authority. They have not learned to humble themselves. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." My friend, he who made heaven and earth humbled himself to save us. My friend, the Son of God became the Son of Men, that the sons of men could become the sons of God. Learn to humble yourself. Let me give you an example. Here are two people, maybe they work on a job together, and they're always talking together, and they seem to be somewhat of friends. But one is always putting down the leader. Before too long, this person is with them, and they kind of talk about that leader. And they spread it around to others. But then, the one that has started putting down this leader and has done so much of it, his close friend that he has been putting this leader down to, is now made the leader. He's given the job. In time, he will oppose this person that was his friend. They have the problem with authority in life. Any authority. Whereas too controlling had a problem with hard authority, this one has a problem with any authority. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.